Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in downtown Washington, D.C. Guess what's coming up in 2 weeks and a day? You'll never guess. Oh, you guessed. Of course you guessed. It is, of course, the presidential election. 2 weeks from tomorrow, on November 8th, an exhausted nation will finally vote and get this election into the history books.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn right. Are you tired? Exhausted from the election? You feel like it should have been over already? You know, I'm a political junkie. I admit it. Ever since I was 10 years old, I was filling in maps of blue and red states and staying up till election night. It was exciting. It was fun. I wanted my candidate to win. And I carefully watched everything. And, well, that's, maybe some of you are like that. But even I'm tired. I'm tired. It should be over already. And what you find is, with the polls showing Hillary Clinton with a solid lead ahead, you find an interesting reaction on behalf of Democrats, Republicans, and Trumpists. As you know, there's not just one Republican Party anymore. There's the establishment Republicans and the Trumpists, and they're at each other's throats. Democrats, I dare say, we are still a little nervous. We want it to be over already. We know she's ahead. We care about the Senate and the House. And hopefully, you, like me, are working hard. I was out canvassing for Hillary Clinton this weekend, and folks, if you are a Democrat and you want to make a difference, go to your local Democratic Party in the county or city where you live and ask how you can help. If you're in a swing state, they'll put you to work right away. I'm in Virginia, which used to be a swing state back when the polls were close. Now Hillary's moved so far ahead, the new swing states are Arizona and Georgia and maybe even Utah, possibly third-party candidate Evan McMullen winning that one. But certainly the traditional swing states, North Carolina and Florida and Ohio and Iowa and New Hampshire, they're all out there, hotly contested in Nevada. I know we've got a large listenership in Arizona. Wouldn't it be cool if the Democrats won Arizona? Why does it matter if you're a Democrat? Well, if you feel as I do, that Donald Trump represents the worst of America, that his misogyny, hatred of women, his racism, his anti-Latino attacks, his attack on other immigrants, his attack on Muslims, his constant use of racism and race imagery, if you believe that his principles of pay, encouraging Americans not to pay their taxes, of attacking POWs, veterans, are the people who work so hard to serve their country. If you think that his sexual assault of women and normalizing it and saying, hey, it's okay, everybody does it. If you think that Donald Trump's coarseness and insults and ridiculous lies, just more often, time and time again, if you think that Donald Trump represents the worst of all that's in America, it's not enough to win. We got to win by a landslide. It's important to shut this door and make sure it stays closed. If you're an establishment Republican, you probably feel the same way. You feel like Trumpism has destroyed your party, and you probably also wish for a landslide. You probably don't like Hillary Clinton, although I would argue the hatred of Hillary Clinton has virtually no rational basis and is mostly based in a caricature of someone who I happen to have worked with personally and have a lot of affection for, because I've seen how hard she works. I've seen her attention to detail. I've seen her brilliance up close. I've seen her compassion up close. I've seen her put her principles, helping people's lives, above politics. And I've seen it personally. And I don't know who the caricature is on TV, but I know who Hillary Clinton is. But the Republicans don't like her for all the reasons Republicans don't like Democrats. They want to punish women that have had abortions. They want to make sure that every poor woman, every teenager on the planet, every 14-year-old that has sex has the baby. It will ruin the 14-year-old's life. And they won't care for the child because they also oppose things like children's health insurance, something that Hillary Clinton supported. But they want to make sure the fetus is born. And that way, both the mother and child can be punished for all of their lives. They won't give any health care to the child. They won't give any help to the mother. They certainly won't help her get an education. But it's a way to punish people for having sex, poor people for having sex. They're, I think, okay, many with rich people having sex. They're certainly okay with Donald Trump doing sexual assault. It's been amazing to me to watch the evangelicals, the ones who supposedly care about morality, the ones who care so much about what we do in the bedroom that until 10 years ago, it was illegal in many American states for couples, gay or straight, to have any sex outside of I hate to use these words, whatever, they're Latin words, penal vaginal sex. Even oral sex was a felony in many states. And that was upheld by the Supreme Court until just a decade ago with the Lawrence v. Texas decision. That was the evangelical position. Have sex in marriage the way we tell you to, or we're putting you in jail. But now that someone like Donald Trump says that he regularly goes after married women while he's married and tries to hit on them, that he regularly kisses women without the permission and even grabs them by the vagina, that's not the word he used, without their permission. Evangelicals are willing to overlook all of that. It's fascinating. Their sexual morality is so strict when it comes to your life, but they're fine with sexual immorality when it comes to their leader. In any case, I think Republicans, establishment Republicans, are pretty tired of Donald Trump. They also don't like his policies, right? They don't like his policies on trade. Establishment Republicans support helping corporations, multinational corporations, helping companies on Wall Street abuse the system and get special tax breaks, like all the ones that Donald Trump takes. They're the ones who support Donald Trump outsourcing all the jobs that he outsources to China and Mexico and Malaysia and wherever else he sends his stuff. So I think they'll be happy it will be over too. So what about the Trumpists? What about the Trumpists, the people who live in the alternative reality that is Trumpism? A reality where every conspiracy theory is true, where Barack Obama is born in Kenya and Hillary Clinton is a murderer, a reality where blacks can't live in peace but are constantly killing one another, where you can't, as Donald Trump says, you can't even walk into a grocery store in Chicago without being shot. An alternate reality where that constant shooting is not due to the proliferation of guns, and indeed where they want to encourage criminals and terrorists and the mentally ill to own guns because they think there are not enough guns. That's why so many people are being shot. It's an alternate reality where the white man is, frankly, enraged. He's not going to admit it's because he doesn't want blacks or Latinos or women or people in cities or those weird gay people or those others that aren't like him to get ahead. No, it's a world where the white man is the victim. You see, rather than learn the lessons of the civil rights movement, that everyone should be equal under the law, the lessons certain rural white men, uneducated white men, have learned is that you do better when you're the victim. Why can't we be the victim too? Why can't straight Christian white men be the victim too? We want to be the victim, as if it's some kind of good thing. Interestingly, groups that have been victimized for centuries are kind of tired of being the victim. But I don't know, there's a certain group, you can call them racist or homophobic or Islamophobic or xenophobic or misogynistic or pick whatever adjective you use, that really wants to say America used to be great when the minorities were put down. And we want to make America great again. And that is what the dog whistle means. That is what they hear when they hear Donald Trump say, make America great again. So can you support Donald Trump without being racist or sexist? I suppose you can, but you are admitting that his racism and his sexism is just not that important to you. It doesn't mean you are a racist. It means you have no problem with racism. Doesn't mean that you hate women or that you would physically assault women, but it means that you don't have a problem with the leader of the nation who believes that he is God's gift to women and can sexually assault any woman he pleases. Now, what does it say about the Trumpists that Donald Trump truly believes that he was born to do anything he wants? Is there a certain authoritarian tendency where they want some kind of fearless leader, someone who can have whatever he wants, where they feel rejected? Most men can't just grab women because there are laws against it and because it's not socially acceptable, and they may live vicariously through someone who can go out and sexually assault any woman he wants and knows he won't have to pay for it. Most people, Americans, pay their taxes. So they live vicariously through someone who doesn't. Most Americans pay people who do work for them. Guy comes, fixes your broken window, you pay him. Donald Trump doesn't have to. Maybe there's a certain group of Trumpists that wish they had no responsibilities. And, you know, we all know 6-7-year-old children who wish they had no responsibilities, didn't want to clean their room, don't want to go to school, don't want to do their homework. Why can't you hit your little sister? She took your toy. And I think Donald Trump appeals to this childishness that we all feel. We all feel sometimes life is unfair to us. Unfair things happen, and we get upset. And I think a progressive sees something unfair, and they say, how can we change the system to make it more fair? And I think a Trumpist sees unfairness and says, you're out to get me. You're out to get me. It's the media's fault. It's the politician's fault. It's the school's fault. It's the minority's fault. It's the women's fault. It's all those liberation groups for women and blacks. It's everyone's fault but themselves. Famously, the McCarthyism movement in the 1950s ended when Edward R. Murrow, the newscaster everyone respected, ended his broadcast by exposing the dark underside of McCarthyism and by quoting Julius Caesar in Shakespeare's famous play when he said, the fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. 888-488-MARK. Call in, agree or disagree. I want to hear from you. 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. 15 days until Election Day. If you're a Democrat, like me, you are almost moving past the presidential race. Not to be complacent, obviously. The worst thing in the world would be to take your eye off the ball. Just keep plugging ahead. Keep going and volunteering. Keep calling your neighbors. Keep making sure they vote. Because the election is very much in the balance. Not so much for Hillary Clinton. I'm really not too concerned about her. But the Senate could go either way. I want you to think about how that matters. If the Republicans have 51 senators, they probably will refuse their constitutional obligation to advise and consent on a Supreme Court nominee. Now, no party's ever done this until this year. For 240 years of American history, we have had votes on Supreme Court nominees. And some have voted in yes, and some have voted no, and sometimes the nominee has withdrawn. But never has it gone more than 4 months. It went four months for Louis Brandeis, the first Jewish Supreme Court justice, and that was exceedingly long. Sometimes it takes just a few days. But, of course, with President Obama's pick, Merrick Garland, we're now in our eighth or ninth month. So if we don't have a Senate with 50 votes, if it's just 51-49 and one senator makes a difference, I suspect the Republicans will basically end the Supreme Court. They'll say, we're not going to nominate anybody. In fact, John McCain of Arizona has already said that. Even if you like John McCain, you respect his war hero status. What does it mean to have a senator say, I will not follow the Constitution? I will not advise and consent. I won't even consider, John McCain said, any justice appointed by Hillary Clinton. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what they believe in. I don't believe the president should have a right to appoint Supreme Court justice, which, of course, is against Article 2. Their view is just wait and wait and wait until they all die off, until there's a Republican there. But if you're a Republican, you don't want this either, because if that happens and a Republican president wins, then what are the Democrats going to do? They're going to say, you wouldn't give us a justice, we won't give you a justice. And soon the Supreme Court will winnow down from 8 to 7 to 6 to 5 till I guess we have no court at all. It's this kind of destructive pattern that is the reason the Trumpists exist. It's the Republican pledge not to work with Democrats to make America better, the way they used to do, but to shut the government down, to end the Supreme Court, to make sure that nothing gets done. Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Senate, said after President Obama was elected, a week into his term, that his only goal was to make sure that Barack Obama did not get a second term. That was his primary goal. That was what he cared about more than anything else. Not all the things you think Republicans would care about, tax reform or regulations, anything like that. But it's this nihilism. It's this wish to destroy everything. If I don't get my way, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. The system's rigged. You're all corrupt. It's a six-year-old throwing a tantrum. And then some Republicans are surprised that Trumpism came to their party. Trumpism was already in their party. It's just now it's eating its own. 888-488-MARK. If you want to comment, 888-488-6275. Back after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I am your host, Mark Levine. Are you suffering from election exhaustion? And how do you feel about down-ballot races? Is it even worth voting? If you're a Trumpist, it may not be worth voting to you. If you think the whole system's rigged, just stay home. I don't tell people to stay home very often, but if you really believe the election system is rigged and you support Donald Trump and you think that he can never win no matter what we do, then there's no use in you voting, is there? Isn't that the message Donald Trump is giving to his people? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Nick in California on line two. How are you, sir?
Mark, something you said in the first half hour triggered a thing that I had seen Saturday. It was very, very interesting because it was on Saturday Night Live. Tom Hanks was playing the part of
I saw it.
disadvantaged white guy that was going to vote for Trump. I don't know if you got a chance to see that.
Oh, I saw the cold open about the debate.
Okay, but this is worth looking up. You can get it on YouTube.
Okay.
It's called Black Jeopardy, right?
Oh, I did see that. Yes.
Okay. Did you notice how in reality, and whoever wrote that was brilliant, because it showed how similar those characters were,
yes,
those participants.
Yes.
Because of the economic disadvantages. You see what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right.
I thought it was remarkable.
You're absolutely right. And okay, actually, it's a good political point, because a lot of the problems that rural white America faces are some of the same problems that working class people face all across the country, whether they be in cities, suburbs, whether they be black, white, Latino, Asian, or whatever. It's education,
yes,
is too expensive. Healthcare is too hard to get. Manufacturing jobs are being outsourced abroad. These are real problems, serious problems. Now, Donald Trump is not a serious person, and he doesn't have a serious answer for them. But that doesn't mean that the problems aren't serious. And it reminds me of really what the labor movement for a long period of time, back when the labor movement was strong, and I'm talking about going back to the early labor movement, 1890s, 1900s, well into the 1930s, many unions were racist, and they were openly racist. They were keeping black people out and trying to help poor white workers. And then when unions got better and included everyone in them, there were many whites in the unions that left. And, you know, I don't want to be where the black people are. So the irony is that rich people, this isn't an American phenomenon, and it's not a 21st century phenomenon. For millennia, rich people in charge have been dividing up working class people and turning them one against the other so they don't focus on the economic system that is rigged. It's not the political system that's rigged. That's the irony. I mean, there is some rigging with gerrymandering and things like that. It's not the voting system that's rigged. What's rigged is the fact that in America, if you're rich, you get justice. If you're poor and you can't afford a lawyer, sorry. That's one of the reasons why Donald Trump tends to win. Most of his lawsuits don't even go to trial, but he has 35,000 lawsuits purposely. Or 3,500 lawsuits, I think it is. But he has them purposely so that he can manipulate the system, because he knows that most people can't afford a lawyer, and therefore the rich guy wins. The rich guy gets justice. The rich guy doesn't have to pay taxes like middle class and poor people do. The rich guy feels like he can just grab women wherever he wants. So the irony is that Donald Trump exemplifies exactly the complaints that are real, live, important complaints that many of his supporters have and many of Hillary's supporters have. So you're absolutely right. There are common interests. And, you know, my hope is that Hillary Clinton achieves, and that's one of the reasons why we need Democrats in the Senate and the House, that she achieves a lot of her goals. For example, making college more affordable. Now, that would be saying that if you earn $125,000 or less, any of your kids can go to college or vocational school. That would change the lives of people in rural America, which is why I think you'll find the Republican Party will fight that tooth and nail every step of the way for the same reasons they fought the Affordable Care Act, because they know that people want health care for cheaper. And they can't allow it to happen because it would be a success for Barack Obama. So they decide they're going to kill the program and make it fail. I think they'd do the same for college, making college more affordable. They're going to do the same for infrastructure and all the needs that Hillary Clinton's going to do, because they want her so much to fail. But the irony is, if she succeeds, all these Trumpists might just see that their conspiracy theories aren't making them better off. It's actually these programs that are making them better off. So thanks for your call. I appreciate that. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Helen in Ithaca on line one. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mark, as you being a scholar at law, I know you went to law school, and I believe you're admitted to the bar. What do you think about this statement? Sorry, you know what I think about it. Donald Trump, after the election is over, he is going to sue every single woman who has stated that she was molested by him.
Helen, I will make a bet to anyone listening on this show, all right? I'll bet you anything up to $100 each. Just email me, send an email to mark@marklevinetalk.com, and we'll make an agreement. I will bet anyone and everyone that Donald Trump never files a single lawsuit against any of these women. He is lying. Because if he were to file a lawsuit, he's even more of an idiot than I already think he is. He would
He's an idiot.
Well, I know he's an idiot, but here's the thing. Donald Trump is an idiot, but he's an idiot about policy. He's not an idiot about stealing money. He's very good at stealing money. And he, for example, he knows, like, he promised he'd give $100 million to his campaign, and then he didn't, because he's not stupid enough to believe that he thinks he can win. So what he's doing, he's not funding his own campaign. He's getting his poor supporters to give him a lot of money, much in the way that certain mega preachers on, you know, television do. You know, they get their flock who's suffering to give them a lot of money so they can afford really expensive houses and cars. But he will not do a lawsuit because, number one, there'll be the discovery phase, where they will take his deposition and require him to say under oath whether or not he sexually assaulted these women. And if he lies, well, that's perjury, and he can go to jail. So he would be stuck. And number two, he would lose these lawsuits, and they would countersue. And, yeah, no, he's not going to sue any of them. And so I will make a bet to anyone, $100 each, anyone, all comers. Just email me, and I will bet you that Donald Trump will not file a lawsuit. We'll say within a year from Election Day, Donald Trump will not. So you got to pay if he doesn't file within a year from Election Day.
Well, I hope he's stupid enough that he does, and he loses
he's not
a lot of money
that.
He's a burden of
yeah.
on plaintiffs and all 50 states.
He's not that dumb. He would not sue any of these women. No. He wouldn't do it.
That's what he
they
said.
May sue him. They may sue him for sexual assault, and he may have to respond. But no, I.
Mark,
Donald
I have
Trump
to jump in
begin.
Here. Yeah, let's not forget he's already going to be in court for Trump University.
That's true. That's true.
And for in December, there's a motion, he has to show up, or his lawyer does, for the case of the woman who claims that he raped her when she was 13 years old.
That's
in
December. That's true as well. Yeah. That's true as well. But those aren't cases that he brought. Those are cases
no, exactly. But
others
it's just saying he's already going to be wrapped up in all this stuff.
Well, he's got 3,500 lawsuits throughout his history. So this is a guy who, you know, as you say, I went to law school. I went to law school, Helen. This would be a full employment for lawyers, you know, if you ever want to make a ton of money. Although apparently he doesn't pay his lawyers either. So, you know,
great.
I'll tell you this. If I'm ever working for you, Donald Trump, I'm getting a retainer in advance. I'm cashing the check before I even talk to you. Because anyone who believes that Donald Trump is going to pay them in the future is not very smart.
He loves to bully and threaten.
Yes, he does.
And that's what right here.
That's what he does. Thanks for your call, Helen. I appreciate it. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. Donald Trump, I think it's fair to say, has had a nasty campaign. And not just because he called Hillary Clinton a nasty woman in the last debate. It's been a race to the bottom, a race to the gutter, one that frankly got him the Republican nomination. Because a strong plurality, perhaps even a slight majority of Republicans, wanted their party to go to the bottom. They've been feeding in the gutter for so long. They've been taught these crazy conspiracy theories. And they wanted someone who was going to live in the gutter, fight in the gutter. And Donald Trump's been throwing up a lot of slime and trying to pull Hillary Clinton down with him. But she, following Michelle Obama's dictum, said that when they go low, we go high. He's never been able to pull her into the muck. It wasn't always that way. 8 years ago, when Donald Trump was not running for president, he had very different things to say about Hillary and Bill Clinton. And it's important that you hear this so that you realize that Donald Trump is entirely an act. This is all an act. He never thought he was going to successfully be president in the first place. It was just a lark, a chance to make some money for his hotels by promoting his publicity. He never thought he'd get this far. And he's had to play a role, this role where he pretends that Hillary Clinton is some horrible person, for two reasons. One, because he wants to win. And two, because he plays into a narrative that the alternate universe on the right has been playing for 30 years, that vast right-wing conspiracy that's out there. But it's not what Donald Trump truly thinks. If you want to know what he thinks, listen to what he said about the Clintons 8 years ago.
Well, I think her history is far from being over. I'd like to answer that question in another 15 years from now. I think she's going to go down at a minimum as a great senator. I think she is a great wife to a president. And I think Bill Clinton was a great president. You know, you look at the country then. The economy was doing great. Look at what happened during the Clinton years. I mean, we had no war. The economy was doing great. Everybody was happy. A lot of people hated him because they were jealous as hell. You know, people get jealous and they hate you. People don't like him because they're jealous of him. But Bill Clinton was a great president. I mean, I hope we can be so lucky in terms of the economy and in terms of other aspects. I mean, we weren't in wars with two nations. I'm not blaming Afghanistan, by the way, is probably a place that we should be. Iraq, we shouldn't be, and we should have never been. You know, Iraq is interesting because in Iraq, Saddam Hussein used to kill terrorists. He used to kill terrorists. Now Iraq is the breeding ground for terrorists. That's where everyone goes. You know, like some people go to Harvard, some people go to the Wharton School of Finance. If you're a terrorist, you go to Iraq. So, you know, we just made some bad decisions. Bill Clinton was a great president. Hillary Clinton is a great woman and a good woman.
You said of Hillary Clinton that she was, quote, pretty badly abused during her presidential campaign. Why do you say that?
I thought that they roughed her up pretty good. I think she's a wonderful woman. I think that she's a little bit misunderstood. You know, Hillary's a very smart woman, very tough woman. That's fine. But she's also a very nice person. And I know Hillary and I know her husband very well. They're fine people. I thought, and, you know, part of that is a rough political battle. I thought she was roughed up. I thought she, and I'm not knocking the other side, you know, you want to win a battle, so if it gets a little bit nasty, it is politics, and politics is a tough game. But I thought she was perhaps unnecessarily roughed up. She took some pretty hard hits, to my opinion.
Who is this reasonable-sounding person? That's Donald Trump 8 years ago, before he started playing a role to run for president. You know, that guy's not so bad. Let's go to the phones. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Old Faithful, Michael from the Bronx on line 3. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, doing a little better. You know something? When you said that Donald Trump and all what he's doing was like an act or something?
Yeah.
You know, it may have been an act, but let's not forget that the damage and the effects that he caused is very much 100% real.
Oh, that's true.
Words.
No, that's true. No question about it. I've talked in the past about how Joe McCarthy began his whole anti-communist thing as an act, but then did real damage, destroyed tens of thousands of lives, and eventually destroyed himself. No, this is an act that has become very real. And I don't know whether Donald Trump believes his own lies or not, but it doesn't matter because tens of millions of Americans believe his lies.
And if people do not believe that, then all they have to do is just look how many people are hurting from his actions, his rhetoric, his proposed policies. We heard from several women already, but then look at people like yours truly, African American, who are still being targeted by police and even by right-wing extremist haters. He's turning the clock back, and you know, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, we are all bleeding the same color. We all have the same emotions, and thus we all have the same rights to live in this nation freely and without any kind of harassment, without any kind of threatening or violence. I mean, let's knock it off, people.
No, well said, Michael. And I'll tell you, he's promoting that kind of violence, you know, talking about law and order, supporting racial profiling, supporting stop and frisk, which has been held unconstitutional, but he still wants basically the police to stop innocent people. That's not in our Constitution. Our Constitution says you have to have a reasonable cause, like someone's committed a crime before you stop them. You can't just see a bunch of young black men or Latino men or whomever you don't like on a street corner and assume they're doing something wrong. The street corner is a public place. They have a right to be there. And no, there's no question. I don't mean to understate the damage that Donald Trump is doing and has done. Look at the fabric of our democracy. I mean, he's basically suggesting that if Hillary wins, when Hillary wins, that, you know, it's some kind of fraud. And this is very damaging. So he's damaging to us racially. He's damaging to treatment of women. He's damaged to our democracy. He's damaged to our thoughts about immigrants and foreigners. He's damaged our terrorism fight because his Islamophobia is going to be used against us by terrorism. So just because he began as a lark and just because he began as a joke and just because he may or may not have believed everything he said, doesn't mean, you're absolutely right, Michael, doesn't mean there's not real damage caused by this campaign that's going to be hard to put back in the bottle when all this is over. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Jake in California on line two. Hey, Jake, how are you?
Hi, Mark. To most Americans by now, it is clear that Donald Trump has a very bad judgment. For instance, Trump picked the corrupt governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, to head his presidential transition team. But it looks like through the legal process, the only transition Chris Christie's going to be in charge of is his transition from the governor's mansion to prison.
Yeah, I don't know who made the worst choice. I don't know whether it was worse for Donald Trump to choose Chris Christie or Chris Christie to choose Donald Trump. I mean, here Chris Christie basically was a presidential candidate who wasn't as bad just in the polls. Totally apart from Bridgegate, but just in the polls as someone else. He chooses Donald Trump. He wants to be vice president or something. Donald Trump basically ignores him, mistreats him, and ever the trooper, Chris Christie keeps coming back and defending Trump. And then, of course, Donald Trump's bus tape causes Chris Christie to hide in the shadows. But you're absolutely right. Chris Christie, it's now known that he knew about Bridgegate, that he knew about the political blocking of the bridge in order to punish some political enemy, some, you know, local Democratic mayor. So he caused all these people all this misfortune. But here's the thing. That in and of itself isn't a crime. What is a crime is lying about it to investigators, state investigators, when he said he didn't know anything about it. Well, you can't lie to the police or the FBI or anyone doing these kinds of investigations. So you're right. I think he's going to face possibly impeachment and or prison.
And the fact that Donald Trump would trust somebody like Chris Christie just shows that Donald Trump would not surround himself with good people were he to become president. He would surround himself with a bunch of yes men, a bunch of people just as corrupt as Donald Trump is.
It's fascinating when you hear the way Trump talks about Putin. He doesn't mention, oh, you know, Putin's killing hundreds of thousands of people in Aleppo right now or has invaded Ukraine despite a treaty saying he wouldn't do that or is helping terrorism all around the globe or hacking into our emails to try to influence our elections. No, what he says is, well, Putin said nice things about me, so I'm going to say nice things about him. Wow. Can you imagine if, you know, it was so simple? Politics were so simple. Oh, well, now North Korea is going to say nice things so they can have all the nuclear weapons they want. I mean, it's really scary. If you say something nice to Donald, he's going to love you no matter how awful you are. And if you criticize Donald and maybe suggest that he's not as truthful or qualified or smart or competent as he says he is, well, you're the enemy. You're a terrible human being. He'll prefer Putin over you. This man... When we say he's a narcissist, we have to understand that it's not certainly not just liking yourself, but a true pathological narcissist. The world revolves around Donald Trump in his mind, and anyone who's nice to Donald Trump gets rewarded, and anyone who is not nice to Donald Trump, whether deserved or not, gets punished. It's very much the thought of a non-well-behaved 5-year-old, because there are kindergartners who are much, much better behaved. It's this self-reflective universe that in which he lives. You know, there are not many. Kim Jong-un of North Korea, the dictator, I think he lives in a similar kind of universe, but there aren't many like him.
And I think Barack Obama had it right. The American people want somebody as president, Donald Trump, who is clearly having a romance with a brutal dictator, Vladimir Putin.
Yep.
If that's his idea of leadership, Trump does not understand what real leadership is all about.
No question about it. Thanks for your call, Jake. Thank you, everyone, for your calls. I'll be back on Wednesday, same time, for more of the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine signing off.